it's like trying to be a cowboy and ride a Mustang. You looking for something? I moved it. I already did it. this is not the stuff you need to move. I need this stuff. So good to see all you guys here today. One follow-up on that with Malik. Our church has actually officially sponsored him through the academy. And we went and did a meeting, my father and I, with a bunch of pastors from all over the Tri-Cities, Highlands, and all these other guys, and nice guys, and we had a good time. But part of what we're supposed to be doing besides praying is actually sending letters. I mean, they want you, if you have the ability, to send like little McDonald's cards, but if you don't, no big deal. Just send a letter. Because it's kind of like over there for 12 weeks, it's kind of like being in prison in a sense that you're isolated from your family, and those letters apparently are a big deal. Any of you ever been incarcerated, letters can be a big deal. So you don't have to have any money except a stamp. Send him a note of encouragement. You don't have to pay $5 for Hallmark. Just get a piece of paper and write down something for him. I promise you it'll be appreciated. We're going to try to keep doing this, not just for Malik, but other law enforcement officers in our area, because we discovered when we went over there, there are many or several that don't have any sponsorship. They don't have any church family supporting them. And so we want to be more a part of that. So keep that in mind. One other thing, and man, Dwayne, I was going to have you do something today. We're going to have to take a rain check on that when everything's got carried away, but you better hang on, okay? And we've got some other things, some other requests that we're going to try to get to eventually here too. But prison, let me just say this. We've been talking about the struggle. Don't quit in the struggle. There's a big movement inside this body of people who are excited about prison, okay? And what I don't want you to do is to let this struggle that we're having with getting in kill. That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to kill your passion, okay? We're getting through it, okay? We're getting through it. Don't you let that squeeze your passion out. Don't you let the disappointment of not going in when the last minute when they call and say you can't go in. We're going to be there, okay? So just let's keep fired up, okay? Amen. Are you ready for the word? Are you ready for the word? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We know that there's a lot going on in this church. And, Lord, we don't apologize for that because we know there's a lot. It's a busy world. It's a big world. There's so much you've called us to do. So we thank you for the privilege of everything we've got the privilege to be about today. Praise and welcome people into our family and praying and worshiping and giving our tithes and offerings and recognizing our children. And we just thank you for this word that's about to come, Lord. We just ask that it change lives, Lord, that our lives be receptive, that we be plugged in, not just to worship, but we be plugged into your word so that we can listen, we can retain, we can apply to our lives, and we can walk out of this place changed together as a family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Anybody here for the first time today? I'm not going to throw anything to you. You're probably scared to do this. Say that now. Anybody? God bless you. Good to have you today. Can I ask you a personal question? I told you I wouldn't embarrass you. I lied. Are you at all freaked out? No, good. Well, that's good. We're not scared you away yet. That's a good thing, all right? Good to have you today. We're going to look at the Bible at Genesis. We've been talking, and Josh gave a powerful word. Anybody here Wednesday night hear Josh's powerful word that the Holy Spirit downloaded to him? Very powerful word. And he talked about something that the devil tries to still kill and destroy our inheritance. And I thought that was a powerful word, and Holy Spirit's been working with me on that, and I think it's really true. And then Dad, a couple weeks ago, three, four weeks ago, talked about Jacob. And so Lord just started pouring something into my spirit. I'm going to share briefly. We're going to read in Genesis just a minute. But I want to talk for a second about, do you know who the patriarchs of Christianity are? That's who, if you go to theology school, if you go to a college, university, they will tell you these are the three patriarchs of the Christian religion. And you may not know this, so I'll tell you. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did you also know who are the three patriarchs of the Jewish religion, Judaism? You know who they are? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you were a scholar in Islam, I don't know we have any in here or not, you would know their three patriarchs are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we don't talk about Jacob a whole lot sometimes anymore, but how many knows he's a big deal? Anybody ever heard of a nation called Israel? Okay, it's a nation right now. It's been a nation since, I think, 1945. But before it was a nation, it was an ethnicity of people. Before it was an ethnicity of people, it was a tribe of people. Before it was a tribe of people, it was a family of people. before it was a family of people, it was a covenant between God and man, which eventually became Jacob. Now, Jacob was born. Bible says that his mama, Rebecca, had a tough pregnancy. Anybody in here had a tough, any of you women? I was going to say anybody. Some of you guys, lift your hand up. And some woman's going to punch you in the face. I promise you. Any of you gals ever had a tough pregnancy? Well, the Bible says her pregnancy was so hard, she says, God, if this is what having babies is about, I'm done. She told God that. But God said, what's going on, lady, is inside your stomach, there's a war going on. Inside of... The promise of God is about to be birthed from some of you. Inside that womb of promise, there is a struggle going on. But he said, God told her, he said, don't worry. You got twins in there. You got two brothers in there. And they're just fighting it out. And they're going to spend some life of struggle. But I'll tell you this, the younger brother will prevail and the older shall serve the younger. So when she had time to give birth, she birthed twins. First one was named Esau. He's the older baby. Second one is Jacob, the patriarch of the Christian religion who became Israel. And the Bible says even as they came out of the womb, Jacob was hanging on to his brother's heel. They were fighting coming out of the womb. Jacob wanted something, and he wasn't going to let go. Sometimes you got to want the promise of God in your life to the point you won't let go. You can't let go of man. You can't let go of God. You got to have that kind of, sometimes. And so Jacob came out trying to cling on to what his brother had. Now we know. Oh, we know that there was a struggle, and we know Jacob's name meant deceiver. Also could be interpreted heel, but namely it means deceiver because he was a deceiver. He was the favorite of his mama, Rebecca. Of course, she had been told by God he was going to be somebody, but he was his mommy's boy. He really was a mama's boy before. He was the original. He was OMB. He was original mama boy. The Bible said that Esau was his daddy's favorite, Isaac. He liked Esau because Esau was a man's man in his eyes. Esau was hairy. Esau was red. Esau stunk. The Bible says he stunk. Yeah, he was a hunter. His daddy liked the fact that he went out and shot things, did manly things, killed things, brought home things. But the problem was Jacob like to hang out with the women in the tents. I mean, that's true. I mean, I'm not criticizing nobody. We live in a world today where roles are kind of more merged. Listen, there was a clear line of sexual roles back then, of the roles of gender back in those days. And so what Jacob was a little bit different back then. He liked to stay home. He was smooth. I would say he was a pretty boy. He was a mommy's boy. He loved mommy. And he liked to stay home. And mommy was always in his business, and he was always in mommy's business. And he hung out in the tents with the women, and that would have been a little different, okay? It's okay to be different. And so, as you know, and I'm going to read it in the scripture, there were two accounts where Jacob, in a way, took from his brother. And so Esau then lost something he was entitled to. And so I really want to just talk real quickly about two things, your birthright and your blessing. And I think there's going to be a part two coming with Dad, maybe do it, or if not, maybe me or somebody in a couple, 3 weeks. We'll get back to it. I want to look more at Jacob. I want to look more at Israel. Because Jacob later, after doing a lot of bad things and being a deceiver his whole life, he learned to struggle. player got played. He ended up getting tricked the same way he tricked. Trickster got tricked. Player got played. He ended up having to struggle. And he struggled with man, and he struggled with God, and he didn't let go. He never let go. And then God changed his name and said, you're no longer Jacob the deceiver, but you are Israel. God prevails. You are my people. You are my people. And so I want to talk about our blessing and our birthright. Our birthright is this in biblical times. And we're going to read in Genesis 25 in just a moment. Your birthright is this. In that time, it was a right of a firstborn son to be the administrator of the estate and to get a double portion and to be the head of the household, to be the one who would represent the family going forward in all business matters. It was worth money. It was a big deal. Listen, I've seen a lot of nice, good, loving families fall apart when mommy or daddy die because wheels don't go. They don't get the things don't get spread out the way people want them to get. And all of a sudden, sisters and brothers that used to love each other won't even talk to each other. It's a big deal sometimes. And I don't know your situation. I'm not trying to get anybody's business, but it can be hurtful. It can be hurtful. And so in this situation, Esau was the firstborn. He would have been born into what's called a birthright. That means by the placement of his birth, by the fact he came out first, he was entitled to the double portion. He was entitled to more of the money, more of the land. He was going to be the one to distribute everything. And when things happened with his father, he would administer everything and be the leader or the patriarch of the family. Now, there's something else that's talked about in the story of Jacob and Esau, and that's called your blessing. When a father died, he would give his blessing, and it was like a spiritual legacy, a spiritual blessing. It was a big deal in the sense of the Old Testament for this reason. He was also Isaac. Get this. He was conveying the lineage of Jesus Christ. What he was doing when he blessed his son, he was giving forth the covenant, passing the covenant of Abraham to the next. Whoever got that blessing, if you go from Jesus, was born of, was going to go through whoever Isaac gave that blessing to. It was the legacy of people. It was the Old Testament equivalent of salvation, if you really want to get to it. Because what, there was no, you know, Jesus hadn't come yet. But what it was saying, this people will be God's people, carriers of the covenant. It was a big deal to get that blessing. So you've got a blessing and you've got a birthright. How many know today you have a birthright and you have a blessing? You have a birthright and you have a blessing. Oh, your birthright. What is your birthright? What is your birthright? Well, your birthright is something you are born into. You don't earn your birthright. You can't be good enough for your birthright. You might be a mess, and you still have a birthright. Just your birth conveyed by your father has established your birthright. The book of Jeremiah says before, oh, I don't want to get in politics. I'm not going to. But before you were even formed in the womb, God already knew you. Now, if God knows you, so if you really want to get, oh man, I probably shouldn't go here. I see all these people talking about life begins at conception or life begins at birth. Life begins when God dreams you. It's way before conception. It's way back. It's way back there. In fact, from the beginning of time, God was and you were. God is beginning and end. He is Alpha and Omega. He always was. And when he dreamed you, you were supposed to be before your mama walked the planet, before your grandpappy walked the planet. God, you were a God dream. And so now we get to partner with God in living out this God dream. And so my birth just brings me into what was already set for me. That's my birthright. So God has a destiny for me and you before you were even formed in your mama's womb. It's what the Bible says. That destiny is what you are supposed to be and do and look like on this planet. Doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter the circumstances. That is what you are meant to walk in. That birthright. You are. You know, a lot of times we're born with hard family upbringings and names, but it means a lot to me to be the son of Jeff Reynolds and Kathy Reynolds. It means a lot to me. By the way, they're going away this week for about 4 days. They won't miss much, or a couple days. They'll be back. I mean, 2 days is about all you can get them to do sometimes. Leave them alone. Leave them alone for 2 days. I promise you, I doubt in 20 years they've had a meal where their dad's not been texting or praying. Nothing wrong with that. That's the job. But let them have a couple days just to kiss on each other and hug on each other a little bit. Is that all right? Can I get an amen, Miss PhD? I'm proud to be his son. I'm proud to be her son. I'm proud to be the grandson of the people I was grandchildren of. They're big deals to me. They're heroes of mine. And not everybody shares that. You know, I know there's issues. You're proud of your mama. You're a mama's girl. And she wanted you to play at church beside a preacher man. See, she knew God's dream before you knew God's dream. But God knew your dream before she knew God's dream. So I'm walking into a legacy they gave me. Now, that birthright, I promise you, I hate to tie. Well, I'm not trying to put them down, but they ain't going to be no $1 billion trust fund set up. I promise you that. I'm already looking to be in the hole on that one. But if you look in the spiritual side of things, I'm a rich man. But you know what? I didn't earn that part. There's things on me too. But being born who I was just born into that. You were born into a destiny that God has set for you. Now my question is this before we read the scripture. We're going to read the scripture. Oh, how long have you been here, Malik? Was you here when I was talking about you? Oh, man, I'm sorry. I would have never talked about it if I knew he was here. That's kind of embarrassing. Love you, buddy. Proud of you. I believe you were destined to marry my daughter. I'm proud of that. And I believe you were destined to walk these streets and deal with some of the worst and hardest situations out there. And I believe you were destined to pour the Holy Spirit into every bit of it and unleash. I know part of the job is you got to lock some people up, but I believe part of the job is to let loose some Holy Spirit, some fire and passion of God on these streets. So we're going to read the scripture and then we're going to talk about the blessing. Oh, Romans 8:17, God says that we are heirs with God. That we have an inheritance with God. That we have a birthright through Christ Jesus with God. And our birthright is this. That whatever is unleashed in heaven shall be unleashed on earth. That we are having spiritual authority. The same spiritual authority that Jesus Christ himself had. This is the deal. Jesus still had to walk and have feet that hurt. Jesus still had to cry. Jesus still had to be rejected. Jesus still had to feel pain. Jesus still had to feel hunger. Jesus had to feel thirst. All that stuff's going to happen. But he walked in the inheritance of knowing that he had spiritual authority and victory over that. That he was going through the struggle, not going to stay in the struggle. Do you get what I'm saying? You have an inheritance. You have a birthright. There is nothing more valuable in your life than your birthright. Now, a lot of you, if I said, what's your most valuable thing, you'd say, my 401k, my bank account, my job, my house. You may not have nothing. But you, if I'd ask you, what's your most valuable thing, you'd come up with something. Maybe it's a person. But really, truly, your most valuable thing should be your birthright. That's the thing that God set in motion before you were born. That's your whole purpose on this planet. And that other stuff can be fun. That's why the Bible says you put God first, all this other stuff shall be added. It's not because we're just trying to, we're just trying to do good. It's hard. I'm going to sacrifice. No. It's because you're happier. You really are when you're in the place that God destined you to be. Many of our times we're not happy. We blame God. It's not God's fault. We're not in our purpose. And we blame God because I do some things. I wear the shirt. I pray every now and again before I eat. And, you know, I go to church 2 Sundays a month. And, you know, that's great. But I would ask you this question. Are you really walking in your birthright? Are you right now, do you believe in your mind, if you believe in your mind that God created you with purpose? If you believe in your mind that the word of God is true, that he really has a destiny and a place for you. Are you there? I'm not saying are you at the end, because we're always going through. We're always travelers. We're just travelers here. We're just pilgrims here. We're traveling through. We're getting stronger every day. I didn't say have you perfected yet. I said are you right now in the place where God ordained you, your birthright? Are you walking in that? Are you Heath Reynolds today? Are you where God called you to be here today? That's an honest question I want you to ask yourself. Because that's the most valuable thing you can possess. Your whole identity is centered on that realization of walking in your birthright. That's why birthright comes with name. And that's even why the wives generally, not always today, but generally in biblical times and generally now, assume the name of their husband. It's identity. You should have the identity of your father. That's your birthright in everything you do. Everywhere you go, work, store, you walk around, that's Jesus' kid. That is God's kid. He is somebody. She is somebody. She's an heir. She's somebody. He's a big deal. Because it's your birthright. So I'm going to read real quick Genesis 25. I'm going to talk. The blessing, Ephesians also says we receive a blessing. That'll be part two maybe. But trust me, not only do you have a birthright, but you have a blessing. And we just don't have time to do it. Old days, old school, Lost Creek, we'd probably do them both today. We'd be out here about 1:30. But we're going to roll today. So we're going to do part one today. I want to talk about your birthright. Trust me, you have a blessing too, okay? But we're going to talk about your birthright. And so I want to look at Genesis 25, if my eyes will allow. Starting in verse 19. I have these things called glasses. Genesis 25 and 19. This is the account of the family of Isaac, the son of Abraham. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from the Paddan Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. Then the Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other in the womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. "Why is this happening to me?" she asked. And the Lord said, "The sons in your womb will become two nations from the very beginning. The two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve the younger son." And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. They named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home, but Rebekah loved Jacob. One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew." This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. "All right," Jacob replied, "but trade me your rights." Listen to this. "But trade me your rights as a firstborn son." "Look, I'm dying of starvation," said Esau. "What good is my birthright to me now?" But Jacob said, "First you must swear that your birthright is mine." So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn son. You may be seated. When I was a kid, about teenager, I don't know, probably 82 or 80 something, three. Back when it was real. Back when I was cooler than cool. I really liked for a little while baseball cards. And I still, Jake and I still look at them. I think it's cool looking at something somebody held in their hand. Like, and of course, money's the same way, I guess. But somebody held in their hand like 50 years ago. I think that's pretty cool. And so back then, though, money was tight. You know, money's still tight. But I mean, things, you know, like a dollar was a dollar back then. Now, like a dollar is like a penny. I mean, it's like, and I don't know if you guys remember this, Mom and Dad, but there was this guy who was in a poor way, struggling way, and he had a baseball card collection. He told us then it was probably worth thousands then, and it probably was. It had like bunches of Mickey Mantles, bunches of Willie Mays, and all this stuff. And I was into the old stuff. I'm always been kind of old school. I like old music. I like old sports. I'm kind of vintage myself. But at the time, he wanted $150 for it because he was in a tight spot. And I didn't, you know, $150, you know, to me was, you could have said $150,000. That was a lot of money. I mean, and I begged my parents for them ball cards. And it was coming up birthday time. I begged them for them ball cards. And $150 was way over the birthday budget in those days, I promise you. And they didn't do it. And I'm not saying this to make them feel bad or look bad. Those ball cards are probably literally on eBay worth right now several million. I mean, they were like early 60s Mantles, bunches of them. I mean, you all really made a bad choice on that decision. You still have several more, don't you? Well, don't tell that. Don't tell about what you got. That's bragging. You raised me better than that. I won't take them home. Okay, hush. But what they did, they said, we're not going to do that, but we'll give you like $50 for your birthday, which was a lot of money. I appreciate that. And what you got to do, son, they gave me like, I think it was $5 a week allowance if I did my chores and made straight A's. I had to make straight A's. If I didn't make straight A's, I was grounded 6 weeks. You kids don't know what it's talking about. If I made a B+, and they didn't take, or if I said, they didn't take it back. They didn't go 3 weeks into a grounding and say, okay, you can do it. I was grounded 6 weeks every time if I did any. And I thank God for parents who love me enough. Thank God for you. Thank God for that. Because you taught me some things. Probably taught me some other things I didn't listen to, but they taught me some things. And that is, there's consequences to my actions. That's a good thing. And they didn't take it back, so 6 weeks you were grounded. But if you had a good week, did everything right, did your chores, made straight A's, you got $5. So I was $55 in. My grandparents gave me $20 or something. A family friend gave me $20. I got up to $85, and I was trying, but I was worried he was going to sell them from out under me, and I'd lose them. I got up to $100. I could see those baseball cards, man. My dream collection. But I was growing up a little bit too. I was getting a little bounce in my walk. I was probably 13. And MTV came on. And all this music that was interesting to me at the time, popular music, you know. And it come out, I was walking in the mall one day, and I saw a sign on the porta on the record barn. Y'all ever heard of a record barn? I got to laugh on that. They had posters of all, like Tina Turner, New Right. You know, you walk by and look at those posters, and I wasn't allowed to go in because I was a preacher boy, but I'd look at them walking by here like this. Oh. And I saw on the window a new product, mind-blowing product. And you guys don't even have a clue, probably a lot of you, what it was, but it was called a Sony Walkman. And you know what? I had a lot of buddies that got that Sony Walkman. It was like the AirPods or the Beats before Beats, right? It was, oh man, they'd walk around school with that thing on their belt, bebop. You know, they was getting with it. They walking down the hall. That's when you used to walk down the hall. When men had grown men's in the hall. They had a smoking section at my school. You know, it was a different time. Second grade, you could wear your skull just to get dip in class. You could take your pocket knife on recess and play mumble, whatever. You know, that's how it was, a different time. And those boys had that Walkman. And I thought, man, I'd be the coolest thing since Cool Hand Luke if I had a Walkman. You know what I could do, Dwayne? I could actually go to the store. I could get a tape if mom and dad didn't catch me. And I could go in school. I could stick that thing in. And I could listen. Just me and them headphones. And I would be a cool cat, man. But the problem was, I had this dilemma. I had this dream collection of valuable baseball cards that would be worth $10 million probably today. I mean, literally, they just sold a Mickey Mantle for like $3 million? For a PSA 9 Mickey Mantle rookie. I mean, you know, everything is just through the roof now because people got too much money and don't know what to do with it. But this would have been my dream. It probably could have set Jake up for life. Sorry. be having some fun, baby. We wouldn't be working. You wouldn't be working. Oh, but that Walkman. So I had that thing that I wanted, and I knew it would have value. And I was right. It did end up with a lot of value. Or I could have that Walkman. In that moment, I made a temporary decision. And I said, I'm going to get that Walkman. And I got that Walkman. And I could sneak in the back seat on the way to revivals and listen to Bon Jovi anytime I wanted to. But you know what that Walkman's worth today? Nothing. Did you know you can't even go in the store and buy a cassette anymore to play it? What is that? It's junk. I traded something permanent for something temporary. See, I traded something that was meant to be a legacy that I could have passed on, that I could have lived in and walked in as I grew older. I traded that for a temporary feeling. And a temporary object. And Jake lost his birthright. No, he didn't. That's okay. God didn't want me to be rich anyway. I'll say it that way. You know what a tattoo is? It's a permanent reminder of a temporary feeling. Sometimes I wonder, do we realize what's the most valuable thing in your life? It's your birthright. As much as you may love your wife, and you're supposed to love your wife, or your children, you're supposed to love your children. The Bible, I have to deal with it, says, put God first, and then all these things. In fact, I would say this, you can't properly love your mother or wife or daughter or husband or son, not fully the way you should, until you know how to love God and put Him first. I say that just to say that it's not your job or your family. Those are extremely valuable, especially your family. But it's your birthright, your relationship with God, that has the most value. Now, if you don't see that, that's okay. You may not see that. But trust me, you're wrong. You're wrong. That's what's most important. And here's the question I think God wants us to talk about, which goes in with what Josh was talking about, how the devil wants to steal your inheritance. Did you know this devil does not have authority to come and take away your birthright? Give it up for my wife. Her hands are probably, she's probably numb right now. Y'all don't realize it because it just goes with the flow, but the whole time I talk, she's boom, 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 boom. And I can't type but about 30 seconds and my hands go numb. So I don't know what she's experiencing right now, but I appreciate her right now. The devil has no authority to take your birthright. He's like a lion. He wants to. He wants to. But he can make you a deal and you can give it to him. You can give it to him. They used to have a show called Let's Make a Deal. Monty, Monty, Monty. Carol Merrill. You got to be old school to know who Carol Merrill is. I don't know. Somebody that later did that show, but I don't remember that. I remember Monty Hall and my grandparents watching them old game shows. They loved game shows back in the day. Game shows are rock for files. It don't get no better than that. Services. And these cats would have a dilemma. They'd have a devil's dilemma. They'd have $1,000 in their pocket. And they'd say, here's the deal. You can keep that $1,000 or you can take whatever's behind door number three. My whole world lies waiting behind door number. Y'all are supposed to help me out. You all, I feel like the guy at the 90s grunge concert that just stage dived and everybody just walked out of the way and I just face planted. You guys left me hanging. They left me hanging, Val. And so the person had a choice. Do I take this $1,000, man? Oh, my kids, I got medical bills. They need college. And that was in the 70s. So $1,000, you know, $1,000 won't buy you books today. But Livy, they had to buy the whole education back then, okay? And I could really use this money. I'm behind on my rent. But what if there's a new car behind number three? And they'd open up that curtain. He said, I want door number three, Monty. Let's make a deal, Monty. And they'd open up that curtain, and there'd be a goat. Boy, that's funny stuff, isn't it? We would never do stupid stuff like that, would we? That's dumb. That's dumb. We would never sacrifice the most valuable things in our life to take a chance on something temporary just to do what we want to be selfish in that moment. We would never do that. That's dumb. Or would we? Have you? Because I asked you earlier a very serious question. Are you walking in your destiny? And if the answer is no, then you've made a deal with the devil. Then you bought that Walkman, and you're bebopping. You bebop on, baby. You bebop on. You got that Walkman. But you lost everything. And here's the sad thing. I say it's 83. In 84, I wasn't really regretting that decision much. 85, I wasn't regretting that decision much. See, we can make the deal. And we may think we made an all right deal. I'm all right. I'm bebopping. Everybody thinks I'm cool. But years later, or sometime later, I figured out I was played a fool. I was played a fool. I was played a fool because I made a deal with the devil. They always say, don't make an arms deal with the Russians. Don't make a deal with the devil. You'll never win a deal with the devil. I promise you. Yeah. Now, some of y'all think dealing with the devil is just about, you know, drugs, going to jail, and all that stuff that's in country music songs. But what if I told you your job can be a deal with the devil? What if I told you your apathy could be a deal with the devil? Whatever that thing is that you will sell out, you'll sell your birthright, you'll sell your purpose for. Esau, as stupid as this story sounds, it's no different than my Walkman, except it's spiritual, not physical. This cat had double portion, half of his father's estate, actually twice as much as anybody else. He would have the double portion. That's worth a lot, not to mention head of household, administering it, all that stuff. But in that very moment, he was so hungry and careless and reckless that he just threw it aside for a bowl of soup. And that sounds stupid. But what have I not done the same thing in my life for stuff just as stupid, just as temporary, and just as unfulfilling? It's okay. I'm just loud sometimes. You're used to me. You love me. I know you love me. You hug me like all the time. You know you love me. That temporary feelings. And here's the cool thing. He loved that soup. Says he was hungry. That soup fulfilled a temporary need in his life. You got to get a hold of this. He was not full and didn't need the soup. He wanted the soup. It sounds stupid, but in that moment, he really wanted it. He was hungry. It actually fulfilled a need. When you're hungry enough, you need to eat. My wife gets hungry, she gets hangry. And she needs to eat. And I know you do too, because you just got elbowed. I see everything. Can I get an amen? Sometimes there's things in your life that you perceive to be necessary. And they feel necessary at that time. You hungry or thirsty enough? You're thirsty enough, you feel like you've got to have a drink. You're lonely enough, you feel like you've got to have somebody with you. You're insecure enough, you feel like you've got to shut yourself out. You're depressed enough, you feel like you've got to be alone. You're anxious enough, you've got to stay home. There's a lot of things that you feel like you need in that moment. But you know what's funny? They're temporary feelings. They're temporary. And if you sell out the permanent for the temporary, in the end, you're left with neither. Because the permanent you gave away and the temporary doesn't last. When Esau finished that bowl of soup, it was done. And you know what's funny? The next day, he was hungry again. But the soup was gone, and so was his promise and birthright. I would say if we're honest with ourselves, we've all sold our birthright. We've all bought the Walkman at times in our life. And I'm not saying it to make anybody feel bad. But there's times we've sold out what God called us to be about for something that we really wanted at the time. That maybe now we don't want as bad. Maybe now we don't want it as bad. I think of these young kids, and we're getting there. I get 5 extra minutes today because of we had a lot to do. Now, we're going to be fast. I think about these young people in college, and I think about that age. And so many deals on the table. But there's always deals on the table. I want to tell you, if nothing else, Holy Spirit wants to convey to you that there's nothing more important than your identity with God. There's nothing more important than your birthright, your spiritual birthright. It's the one thing that'll sustain you, that Romans 8:17 talks about, that will get you through everything that comes at you. You've got to hang on to that thing. Esau didn't, but you know who did? Jacob. He might have been a deceiver for a while. He might have been a mama's boy for a while. He might have been a little crooked for a while. But he wouldn't let go of the birthright. And out of him, a nation was born. Because Jacob was one that wrestled with God and man and never let loose. And that even the son of God said, I wrestled with him all night. I couldn't whoop him. I'm going to bless him. So don't be an Esau. Say, don't be an Esau. Don't go for the soup. And don't go for the Walkman. Take the baseball cards, always. Don't trade with the devil. So if you're in this room and you say, all right, I'm not walking where I'm not where I need to be. Is that God's plan? So then why don't we do something about it? You know what I wish? You know what I really wish? If we really believed like some of these people, I'm not trying to criticize anybody else's faith. They're wrong, but I'm not going to be disrespectful about it. They're just wrong. But if I could go back in time and I could do that, I Dream of Jeannie, you know. No, I'm mixing them up. Jeannie went like this. It was Samantha that went like that. Anyway, we're not talking about witches in here. I'm sorry. In fact, if there's a witch in here, you are not welcome. Get on out of here. In the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care if it's the funny kind. I ain't talking about it. I'm just giving you a hard time, Jim. You were right. It was a show called Bewitched. If I could go back in time right now and then say, you know what, Heath, I'm going to locate that old baseball card collection. I guarantee I can't find that Walkman, but if I could. Although at Mama's house, you never know. If you had, about a million years of time, you might be able to go through and find it. Probably might really be able to. If I could go back in time, Cleta, and I could undo that trade, and I said, here's your Walkman, you give me them cards, man. Oh, man, I'm going to be a billionaire. I want to be rich. A millionaire. I'd trade it in a heartbeat 100 times over. But what else would I trade? What would I trade? Thing is, you can't really go back in time and undo. But what if you could go back and get yours? What if money's gone, but what if the blessing was still waiting at home? You see, in Luke 15, Jesus was very familiar with the story of Jacob and Esau. And he told a parable about a young man. He wanted his up front. He wanted his birthright up front. He was not the older son, so he didn't get the double portion, but he got a portion. And he said, I want my money, Dad. And the dad said, but it's not your time for your money, son. And you're supposed to have that money in my presence. But the son says, I want the money in my time when I want it, and I don't want to be in your presence. And so the man took his money. And the man bebopped with his Walkman all the way home. And he went and he had a good time for a little while. He listened to Duran Duran and Tina Turner and Michael. I'm not going to do it. And MC Hammer. And he did all that stuff, right? But he woke up and he was empty and he was spent. And he was hanging out with pigs and slop. He wasted all the temporary stuff. And he started thinking about Dad. He started thinking about his identity. And he said, I'll take a chance. Some people in this room today, you need to take a chance. He said, I'm going to take a chance. I'm not talking about, come and do the Roman road. There's nothing wrong with that. If you don't know Jesus, you need to do that. But I'm talking about walking in purpose and identity and power. And that young man said, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. And he started walking back home. And he was going to apologize. And he was going to beg just to be a servant. And sometimes the devil can tell us it's too late to get those ball cards. It's too late. You've already wasted your birthright. Maybe years earlier if you'd have done something. At best, you're a pig wallower or a slave. And old boy took bought into that. And he said, I'm going to walk home and be a slave. And he was walking home lowly and thinking how he was just going to beg his dad to let him be a slave. And he got an eye shot. And daddy had been, he said, from afar off, daddy was looking, waiting day after day. Waiting to bless that boy. And he saw him coming. And daddy ran. He shortened the gap. And he ran and he grabbed him. And you know what he did? He blessed him. He gave him his blessing. And in doing so, He restored that young man to his rightful identity. He was son. He was son. She was daughter. She was daughter. So if you're in this room and you feel Esau, you're Esau. I gave it away. I bet on door number three. I bought the Walkman. And now I pay the price. And now I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And now I'm not fulfilled. And now I'm not passionate. And now I'm not victorious. Then I'm here to tell you, quit listening to the devil's junk. Turn your eyes home. Return to the Father. And let him restore your blessing. Restore, 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 restore. Restore 100%. You know what? I'm greedy. When I go get them ball cards from the devil, I'm asking for interest, Jack. I want some interest, Jack. I want that MasterCard. I don't want that. I want that MasterCard. Interest. It's time to return and take back what's been stolen. He didn't steal it. We gave it. We gave it away. But it's time to take your blessing back. Take it back. Go get your inheritance. Because it was given back. You know why it was given back? You can't undo God's a just God. But for a man named Jesus. But for a man named Jesus. Who came and said, yeah, you got what you deserve. But I'm going to put it on me. And I'm going to pay the price so that you can have it back. He bought your birthright back when he hung between heaven and hell. He bought your birthright back on the cross. So we're done. If you're today, if you're sitting in an empty room with a Walkman in dust and no music in your ears, Jesus said, I paid for everything. You can have it back. And all I want for you to do is come. The Father says, come, and I shall bless you. I shall bless you. I shall bless you. Could you bow your heads? Thank you for being patient. Oh, I'm so sorry. Sometimes we got a lot going on. I asked you that question earlier, but the eyes weren't closed. I want to ask you now with your eyes closed. How many would say, right now, I'm going to do it this way. You know you're doing walking exactly as Christ would have you walk right now. You're in purpose. You're doing everything the way you're right where you're supposed to be. And you're walking in your blessing right now. You're sitting in your birthright. If that's you, I want you to see your hand right now. All right. I did it reverse on purpose because there's very few hands. Because if I ask the other way, sometimes there's not as many hands. So that means the rest of you didn't raise your hands. I'm going to assume that you need to come to the Father today and say, Father, restore my blessing. Restore my birthright. On the authority of Jesus Christ, Romans 8:17, we are joint heirs. We have an inheritance through Christ Jesus. So if you're in this room right now and you say, I know I've traded away some things in my life and I want them back. I gave some things away and I want, if you want them back, put your hands up. Put your hands up. You put your hands up. The devil took some stuff from you. Put your hands all over. Put your hands up. The devil's took stuff from me, but I want it back. Good news is, you don't have to be the baddest man in the room. Jesus will give them back. You just got to go to the Father for your blessing. I'm going to count to three. Oh, keep your hands up. Switch hands. There's hands all over this room. Some people are going to take some stuff back today. We're going to get it back. full blessing, full inheritance. When I count to three, I want everybody to stand. And I want some people to come get it. Come walk. The daddy will meet you halfway. You'll get halfway and you won't remember the rest. Your father will meet you. He's looking for you. One, two, put your hands high. Put your hands high. Put them up high. I need you. Oh, come on. Three, move. Everybody up, move. Move. Come get your blessing. Come get your store. Come take it back. Come on, if your hand was up, move. Move. If your hand was up, move. Today is your day. To take back what you gave away. To take back what I gave away. Because Jesus has paid the price. Jesus has made the deal right. Jesus has changed things. Come on, come forward. There's people coming. Just make room. He's going to give it all back. If you're in this room, find somebody to pray for. Because God has given some stuff. Look, people are getting some stuff back. This is a big deal. Pray for somebody. Pray a restoration prayer. Pray impartation prayer. Pray impartation prayer that God is restoring things in people's life. I need some prayer warriors. Go around this room and start touching people. Touch people. Touch people.